Blog Talk Radio.
Hello there, friends. We're going to have Representative Mark Pafford on in just a minute, but I want to welcome you to this special interview with Representative Mark Pafford, Progressive Democrat in Tallahassee, Florida. Thank you.
There's a better world is coming, tell you why. There's a better world is coming, tell you why. We will beat 'em on the land, on the sea and in the sky. There's a better world is coming, tell you why. There's a better world is coming, don't you see? When we'll all be union and we'll all be free. There's a better world is coming, don't you see?
And that's our little intro music, Better World A-Comin'. And in just a moment, we should have Mr. Pafford. And I'll put on a little other music until that does occur. Welcome, Representative Pafford. How are you today, sir?
I am fine, thank you. How are you?
Very good, sir. Very good. Want to welcome you once again to Progressive News Network. We saw an interesting comment that you made on Facebook about the fact that the governor is insisting on using bogus facts when he meets with Ms. Sebelius. You want to talk about that a minute?
Yeah, I think it's quite amusing, actually, that you've got a governor who maintains that Affordable Care Act is philosophically something that he's opposed to, now using facts that he's, for the most part, that he knows are incorrect to support his claims. And I think the fact that you got a sitting governor requesting a meeting to, as he had described at one point, negotiate how the federal law would be implemented in the state of Florida and talk about Medicaid expansion and all that comes with that. And he lays on the table what should be thoughtful, precise information and provides bogus, as you say, or false numbers to support whatever claim that he's trying to make. You know, once again, you've got a fanatic governor who obviously is in his own reality on this, and he's trying to make decisions for 19 million people at the expense of some of the most vulnerable people. It's really shameful what he did.
Well, you know, if you look at the Republican argument, it's there for all to see up on the Republican website that they think this is going to be too costly, and of course it. It's interesting that when he was told that because there are so many uninsured, that means that Florida's going to get more money, that argument doesn't seem to faze him. He seems ready all the time to turn down federal money.
You know, he's I can't think of any other way to describe his behavior is utterly ignorant. I'm shocked that he is an attorney. I am shocked that he seems to have no reality or know-how or understanding of you know, what government is, whether it be a federal, state, or local issue. And instead, you know, he governs on this superficial, philosophical nonsense. And, you know, people, I think, are beginning to call him out. I think the question in his mind is, and I think that's why he's playing these games, can he move those approval numbers up high enough where he doesn't risk a primary in, you know, the 2014 elections? I think that's his biggest concern right now.
Well, it seems that from the reports the state economist even told him that those numbers are based on a false assumption. And,
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's look, you know, I think Amy Baker, there's, you know, a trail of evidence in this case where he was warned not to use those numbers, and he's gone ahead and used them. You know, and whether it's his staff or not, you know, I can tell you anytime I look to use numbers, I always want to fact check things, especially, you know, if I were going to Washington, D.C. to meet with the Secretary of Health and Human Services on a matter that you sued the federal government over. It really is astonishing.
Well, you know, you wonder, is it a case where he's just a fact averse like so many Republicans, or is the fact that he's spent a lot of time in his professional career in the Medicare industry, and now he wants to steer Florida residents into HMOs? Hard to imagine that it's not a conflict of interest somewhere.
You know, it might be a conflict, but it's hard for any member of the legislature who's working an outside job, or the governor, you know, to basically argue that whole conflict argument. You know, yes, he was in healthcare, but, you know, we've had attorneys that are attorneys that are governor. We've had, you know, other professionals and many other types of professions where, you know, the state determines what policy is going to be, what laws are going to be made. And I think in each case you could probably argue conflict. I think in this governor's case, you know, the question would be, is he acting in a malicious way? I mean, there's just been so many times that, you know, we can basically list from the day he was elected that he's been performing for the Tea Party, you know, and not only is he almost a silly puppet at this point, but he will say or do anything to keep whatever base he thinks remains, you know, supportive of whatever he's doing. And, you know, this latest item, you know, using false numbers in a meeting yesterday, and then, you know, having a press conference to tout the meeting as positive, it's remarkable that nobody's really calling him out. Obviously, you are. And that's great, but, you know, this is a big, big issue when an elected governor misrepresents the facts purposely. That's a big issue, and you have to wonder, you know, if he's this blatant or this careless about it, what other things he's also, you know, misleading people on.
You know, I mean, the case that they make on the Republican website, and I'm sure this represents their thinking, is that, you know, when this new care package comes in, it's going to represent, there'll be an expansion in the number of people served. Now, instead of thinking like many of us do, well, okay, that means more people will have access to health care, he's immediately concerned that more people are going to be cared for, therefore the costs are going to go up and the federal money will not be there. And he's essentially
I was just going to say, somewhere in his mind, he can't fathom that this state being number five, by the way, in the corporate taxes that corporations, it's the fifth best in the nation. He doesn't understand that there is a nexus, that there is a connection to revenue and quality of life and building a state with an infrastructure that supports those who need it. Building an infrastructure that has diverse economies. He's a very simple person. There's no other way to describe this. His actions are just so absurd at this point. It's really hard and unintelligible almost to make sense of these things. He's more concerned of slipping to sixth than he is raising mental health above 49th, or education above whatever, 48, 49. You know, the biggest issues that he has to deal with aren't necessarily those tax rates for the wealthiest corporations and people of the state. It's paying attention to the people he claims to have been one of, specifically his background being, you know, a poor family. It's astonishing that he is so disconnected to Floridians. And it's frankly astonishing that we could elect this guy, considering the amount of damage he's going to do, not only during his first 2 years, but for the next two.
You know, I thought it was ironic. I was looking through the Republican pages, and it says, well, you know, the biggest danger besides the fact that the federal government may not come through with the money, even though they've promised to fund it fully 100% for the first 4 years, is it's gonna hurt Florida's ability to spend money on education. It's almost funny. It really is.
You would have to laugh. I mean, look, you know, it's I've used as many words as I could think of to describe what I think of it.
You've been generous, Mark.
You know,
you've been generous.
I've really tried to be nice too, but you know, I find it sometimes hard to describe how bad he is, and the complete and amount of destruction that he will be responsible for by the time his first term is up. And, you know, whether it's destroying the Department of Health, whether it's closing PD hospitals, whether it's, you know, continuing to give the wealthiest breaks in the state and, you know, turning his back quite literally on people who may die or have died, and that could be, the 100,000, well, it's 85,000 seniors that are in frail conditions that need help to stay out of nursing homes, the 21,500 people with disabilities, some waiting for a decade for services. He hasn't paid any attention to them. He's done nothing. In fact, his first year, he actually had somebody on his staff come to a appropriations meeting and say that, you know, we wanted to get rid of the Department of Health, he did, and allow nonprofit agencies to care for those people. And in the event that they could not find a nonprofit health agency, you know, they were on their own. I mean, it's perhaps the most callous administration I can recall. And, you know, I think you'd find a lot of Republicans thinking the same.
You know, I'm a beneficiary, as are any American alive today, of the wonderful investment in infrastructure that we saw in the 30s, the WPA, the Public Works projects, the Eisenhower Highway projects. You know, you would think that someone who wants to work in leadership of government would want to build a better tomorrow for his state or for his country. And we've seen people capable of that. Here we've got a governor who was offered money to improve the transportation infrastructure. He couldn't even see his way to do that. Clearly, this is not a man who's investing in the future. This is a man who wants to, I guess, downsize the point of those private enclaves, you know, a state
yep.
for the rich only. Mark, let me ask you.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm. Go ahead. I'm all yours.
Okay, I was just going to say one other thing. I was wondering if you could address, and like I said, maybe it's not your focus, but can you talk a little bit about some of the changes that are happening and what Tallahassee's envisioning for the future in terms of the foreclosure problem? We see the feds have decided that they're not going to really do much more than slap the backs of the hand of these bankers. And we hear that the Tallahassee Republicans want to streamline it to make sure that the banks can get those homes faster. Can you give us shed any light on that, sir?
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing new. Look, you know, there are a lot of parallels between Washington and the giveaways to the banks and the lenders. And Florida, you know, it's not much different. And it's unfortunate largely because of some of the things that have gone on over the last number of years in terms of, you know, banks trying to seize these homes and properties without any justification or paperwork, without any type of real effort to see if they, you know, some of these folks had qualified for loans and these type of things. And it's not surprising, largely because, you know, these lenders and the banks have such an incredible grip on lawmakers. You know, I think perhaps the biggest issue that involves everything we've talked about, I may question whether or not Governor Scott really cares, frankly, about anybody that's contributed to his campaign, because he seems to be just out there on his own. But generally speaking, you know, there is always this great desire to give back to people who make contributions. In the case of, you know, banks, in the case of the gun lobby, in the case of the insurance lobby, you know, it's really nothing new that we're seeing. You know, we're supposed to take up ethics reform along with elections reform. You know, I really doubt that we're going to see any type of ethics reform coming from a elected body who most of the leadership, I'm sure, are quite pleased with the amount of money that's come in. I think, you know, when it comes to that control that campaigns try to get over certain policies by, you know, investing quite literally dollars into campaigns, that's not going to change. I think the only thing that may change under the guise of election reform would be the independent type of political committees out there that are speaking on their own behalf. You know, my guess would be, and Democrats probably would, you know, appreciate this to a certain extent too, getting those dollars moved away from those independent political committees and back to the party structure. Just merely because of the control you have once you control those dollars. I can't imagine the Republicans were pleased this cycle with the amount of money that was spent by third-party political, you know, committees set up to badmouth people. You know, historically, that's always gone to the parties, a tremendous amount of those dollars. And so, you know, under the guise of ethics campaign reform or ethics reform, you'll probably see an effort to redirect those dollars back to where they, quote-unquote, should be.
Well, Mark, I want to thank you again, but let me ask you one last question before you leave, sir. You're just about to begin a new legislative session. Do you have any goals for this session for yourself? For the Democrats of Florida's legislature, or is it going to be, you think, largely a holding action?
No, you know, I think the fact that we have more than, you know, 30% is important, but, you know, what people have to understand, so we can use the rules a little bit more to our advantage by having, you know, those numbers in the House, 44, rather than under 40. However, you know, the Republicans in both chambers have a very large majority, and so things are going to continue as they always have, with the political twist of a gubernatorial election in 2014. My goal has always been to take a deep breath and try to bat down every crazy idea that comes at us. But
you've
also
been doing a great
year,
job too.
Well, I appreciate it. It's you don't know it sometimes because it just comes at you so often. But thank you. But you know, my job also as the policy chair of the caucus is to help provide information so members are able to make very, very informed decisions. And, you know, we've got, I think, 24 new caucus members in our Democratic caucus, as opposed to the 19 that came back. And so, as you can imagine, and I'll be the first to tell you, being a freshman in the legislature is not an easy task. You're not only learning structure and how to do things and you know, the process, but you're also trying to get to speed on, you know, probably 200 different issues at one time. And so, you know, if anything, my job is to keep my head above water, work as hard as I can for the folks that actually sent me here, and get out of this 2-year commitment and do, you know, put everything I have into it. I only look at it as 2 years because elections provide the, you know, opportunity for people to change their mind about everybody. And nothing is taken for granted, as far as I'm concerned. I you know, if and when, because term limits will happen at some point, you know, I depart the legislature, I don't ever want to look back and say to myself, you know what, you should have been louder. You should have taken a stance. I don't want that to be the case. I want to try to use every second of this great honor to do my best. And that's really all I can say about my plan.
Well, Mark, thank you so much. We know that you do a very good job for us all in Tallahassee. Keep up the good work, and thanks for all that you do.
You bet, and thanks as always for having me on. And I think we actually made it through an entire interview without any phone problems.
I know. It was amazing. Thanks so much,
sir. It's shocking. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that was Mark Pafford, progressive Democrat in Tallahassee for us. Do all you can to support him. He's doing a hard job, and he's doing it very, very well. Thanks again from your friends at the Progressive News Network. Bye-bye, Mark.